Lecture 14, stem cells used with or without thought. This is a seminar, Santa's gift program to me, how I train my genie stem cells. And Rex is training his genie stem cells right now. Stem cells used with or without thought. Our topics: associating my stem cells with pre-programmed cells encourages the new cells to live under the old programming. Without thought, the stem cells follow any leader. With thought, the stem cells follow the thought. I choose to establish a pattern of thought and action that reveals my original purity and integrity, using my stem cells to empower me. So, now you got it. Okay. Stem cells used with or without thought. This is what we do most of the time. We use our stem cells without thought. They just utilize, come into our body, come into our world, come into our thing, and what do? They just join forces with whatever exists. And if what exists is stem cells that say, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm old, you know, then that's what we are. But if the stem cells are put to work on their own, taught that they are new, beautiful, fantastic, that they are, whatever are they? They are vital, dynamic, alive. They are super. Now, how do we get the stem cells to work on our body? Well, if I were to take, all right, we have a water purifier out here, and it works on electricity. And the water comes into the water purifier from our wells, which is beautifully pure water that comes in. But it has a lot of minerals and other aspects to it. And the water purifier that we have does two things. One thing it does, it has the ability to distill water, which means to take all of the minerals out of it. Just make it pure H2O. And the other thing it has the capacity to do is to regenerate the water that we have and instill in the water that we have certain electrical vibrations or something. How would you describe that, Sylvia? Yeah, I thought so. Well, what it does, it makes that water regenerated. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I knew it had it. So, isn't that nice that she couldn't correct me? My goodness sakes! But Sylvia bought the gadget, and she read up on it, and she told us that it was so good, and so we bought it. And so, but it regenerates the water. Now, what is it doing to the water? Essentially, water is the essence of what is in the body. Water is the essence of what makes planet Earth blue, green, you know, all the things that it is. Water is necessary for life, according to science. Although many objects, many bacteria, many viruses have existed for centuries without any water whatsoever. And then the minute moisture came along, up they came into being very, very much present and very powerful. So, what is it that gives water this special quality? What is it that our bodies are made up of? Our bodies are electromagnets. Our bodies do wonderful things. Our bodies just take water and take these substances and give every cell life, give every cell purpose and direction. So, this water does it beautifully. Now, we can take water in Nigeria, and the water there is impure surface water, It's not water that's been cleansed down through layers and layers of filters, but it's surface water. And the people there have built up an immune system so that they can drink that water and not die. Some do. But some here die drinking water too. But it's a matter that they build up the immune system. Now, our water regenerator that we have not only purifies the water, but it regenerates it to give it like electrical charge. You say, wow. So when you're drinking this water here, you get electrical charge. You get sort of an energy boost inside of you. It's like regenerating your stem cells, regenerating the cells of your body. Now, I believe that stem cells work in much that same way. Stem cells come into our body, come into our being, and they regenerate everything to its original purity, unless they are associated with other cells which tell it that the body dies, the body gets old, the body needs this and that. Now, how can the cells come into the body? For instance, how can a cell go into a liver that is not functioning properly and cause that liver to return to its original purity and integrity? How can that function? Of course, you all know the answer. And the answer is that it does. Science is trying to figure it out too, but it does. Now, why does it? Why does it? Well, it does because it's nature to do that. Now, do you understand the nature of water? Do you understand the nature of electricity? You understand the nature of regeneration of these things? And I would say no. And that's not our quest today to understand it. But it's our quest to know that when these stem cells are put into a liver that has problems, one cell, that the liver regenerates itself to its original purity and integrity. Now, that fact is enough to be quite wonderful, isn't it? Okay? How then can these cells ever fall under the prey of cells that say they cannot do it? Good question. My answer at this moment would be that those cells come into the body and only go where they're invited to go. Otherwise, they just flush out and are no longer there. Because if the cell is so premeditated, if the cell is so predetermined to return any organism that it touches to its original purity and integrity, then you would think that the cell would continually, these cells, would continually be returning the human body to its original purity and integrity. Now, why is there, what might be the reason that they don't do that? What might be the reason that when 10,000 stem cells born every day in the brain are at our fingertips, at our beck and call, why is it that they don't do that? Well, I guess it's because thoughts are things. And we have thoughts that say we are old. We have thoughts that say, I'm proud of the fact that I'm 1 1/4 years old. I am 1 3/8 years old. I am 6 1/10 years old. You know? We teach our kids to count their age in the tiniest fractions. We teach them to be proud of the fact that they're 4 years old. I am 4 years old, you know. No, put that down. I am 4 years old, you know. Now, because we have such a tremendous impress upon our mind with our thought from this early age, I believe that these thoughts are what the stem cells act upon. Now, if a stem cell comes to correct something. Now, for instance, if you have a pure glass of water, and that pure glass of water is lovely, and then you take a drop of ink and you put it in there, and the glass now is turned into whatever color the ink is. If you have a pure glass of water and you put some food coloring in it, the glass will turn to the color of the food coloring. Now, these things are not necessarily good or bad, but it shows how quickly and simply a glass of water can be transformed from a pure glass of water to a glass of water that reflects the drop that's put into it. And I believe that that's how our bodies are. Our thoughts are so powerful and so overwhelming that we don't believe that we're any good. Now, I said to each one of you, I said, please, this is a seminar. I would like each one of you to do whatever I ask you to do. You're here to do whatever I ask you to do. And if you don't do it, you're not playing the game, you're not having fun. So I ask you to sing, or I ask you to say something. I ask you to say, we return to our what?
Original purity and integrity.
And sometimes you want to say something different, because you are an independent character. You're like John sometimes. When I'd ask John a question, he would say it definitely a different way, just because he knew I wanted it the other way. And that didn't make him bad. That made him a normal type of child, you know? We're always rebelling. We're rebelling against everything. And just because John rebelled out loud didn't mean you weren't rebelling quietly. And the thing is, we have to be very careful of that, because we rebel from the very good that we could have. Now, Ellen wants to learn how to play the piano. So I say, Ellen, or hey, a better way yet. I had a bunch of you here for the Master Seminar. I went out and bought you the best guitar you could ever want in your life. I went out and bought the sheet music and the tuner. Hey, you got a tuner for those guitars. Yeah. Might work on your voice too. Bought these tuners for the guitar so you could tune the guitars. I bought music. I even got you lessons from, what was her name?
Lynn.
Lynn Neff. And I had Lynn Neff teach you how to do it. But here we are now, 7 years later, 8 years later, and how many of you play the guitar? You know, none of you. And the reason none of you play the guitar is because when you were given the lessons for 2 months, you didn't practice. You were told to practice every single day for an hour, and you didn't. You did everything else, but you went to the bathroom and you came back and you went here and you went there and you did this, you did that. Anything but to do that. And of course, today you have no benefit from it. I asked each one of you to speak affirmations. If you had spoken those affirmations, your life would have been transformed. But you didn't. Because, no, I won't. I don't feel like it. I'm tired of saying affirmations. Herb's affirmations are a bother, you know. And so you didn't benefit. You know. Because it's done unto you according to your training, your belief, your understanding. And it's up to you to make these things work. But now, this, I believe, is one of the reasons why the stem cells are not very beneficial to us. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? It's not only you that they're not beneficial to, but it's all humanity. Because all humanity is objecting to being trained and being shown the way to these various things. Now, what are we going to do? How are we going to get some benefit out of our stem cells? Science is trying to shoot them into the brain, shoot them into the liver, and trying to make something happen. And that's going to be slim pickings, small potatoes. It's going to be just little stuff. Not really anything great. But why? Because there's no cooperation. No real cooperation. What is the reason brilliant students in school do not learn?
Because they listen during the lesson.
I'm sorry? Say it again, please.
They listen carefully during the lesson.
Why is it that brilliant students in class do not learn?
Or do not? They know already.
Come.
They're bored.
Yes, they know already, that's true. But they don't know that they know already. They're bored. They are not challenged. They are not challenged to use their own inner wisdom to its highest and best. And that's what each one of you are. You're bored. You're bored by the things that I say that are so simple. But I tell you, Miss Anita Lope, if you do not put the key in the ignition, quite likely you're not going to be able to move that car. You know? It's a boring thing to stick the key in the ignition. I want to have the car levitate. I want to have the... Well, go ahead. Go ahead. I don't have that in this school here. Here, we're learning to put the key in the ignition. Now, you put the key in the ignition, and it'll work. Now, what is the key? Anybody?
Affirmations.
Affirmations are the key. Now, we have other keys. We have other keys. But are you ready for it? Are you ready to learn to be a fire eater? Yeah. Are you ready to learn to walk on fire? You didn't do it. You had the opportunity to go to classes that were teaching that and do it, but you didn't do it. Anybody who wanted to here could have done it, but you didn't do it because it didn't turn you on. In fact, it turned you off. Now, there's a little picture that Dorothea sent us, and Charlie, and it's a little baby taking a bath. And the baby is in this little tub. And the baby is giving a bath to his pet. And his pet is what? You didn't see it? That's at the end of the list of the things. You probably didn't go the whole list. The baby is giving a bath to his pet python. He is washing his pythons. You know what a python is? A python is a snake. It's a big snake. And the snake is as big as, you know, my hand cupped around like this. And the baby has this snake wrapped around him and coming into his bath. And he's washing his head and the snake is letting him. Isn't that interesting? Now, you see, you're looking in, my gosh, you know, in awe. But when you don't look in awe, do you think it bothers the baby? This is pet. Children play with a lot of things that would kill adults because they have happy attitudes toward them. Children can do a lot of things that adults can't do because children are not having a predetermined attitude about it. But the minute they get a predetermined attitude, you know, we had three boys here, and these three boys were really tough to have here for one reason, because they had a father. And their father said to them, I don't like broccoli. So the boys didn't like broccoli. I don't like carrots. The boys didn't like carrots. I don't like... He had a number of things he didn't like, which we ate regularly, you know. And so the kids sat at the table, they wouldn't eat it. And I said, well, here you eat a little of everything. You eat a little of everything. But you see, here they were 7 and 9 years old or something like that, and or whatever it was, and already they had this built-in opposition to beneficial food. Is broccoli good for you?
Sure.
Yeah. Are all these vegetables good for us?
Yeah.
We can say that. If he wants to be an Eskimo and live up at the North Pole where they don't have broccoli, perhaps, you know, then he can certainly have blubber and other wonderful things. Yeah. But you see, now, you stick up your nose at blubber, but the Eskimo doesn't stick up his nose at blubber because that's his normal fare. That's his hamburger. And he likes it. Really, he likes it. And you think, oh, that's fat, my goodness sakes, all that yucky, yucky, you know. But that's their normal meal. This is how it goes. Now, you see, we have, like Gertrude putting up her nose at blubber and the children putting up their nose at vegetables, we have these ingrown in in inner attitudes that keep us from being all that we can be. Now, every one of you think the stem cells are a pleasant conversation piece, but as far as being anything real, you don't really believe it. Because if you believed it, you would be so much preparing yourself to have the beneficial use of the stem cells, because they're always there. They're always there. There's nothing you can do about that. Science tells us that. Science says the stem cells are born 10,000 every day in our brain. And now they're saying that every cell of our body is producing stem cells. Now, how do you get the benefit from these stem cells? How do you put them to work? Well, you go to the placenta and you eat it. So you eat lots of stem cells. No, that doesn't do it. You don't put it in your digestive tract. You can, but that's not the point. You want to make every organ, action, function of your body absolutely wonderful, absolutely perfect. Now, how do you make every organ, action, function of your body perfect? By your thought. Now, we think that it's by our stem cells. Well, yes, it's by our stem cells. Now, how do you make yourself receptive to your good? You say, I'm open and receptive to my good, as though it comes from outside. Our good comes from inside. Our good flows from the center of our being, okay? Now, if our good flows from the center of our being, then why do we have to say anything at all? It's just there. Because we're making a preparation for it. When the mother goes to the hospital or has a baby at home, what's the first thing she does? She makes a preparation for the baby's bed. She wants the baby to have a place to sleep. The baby can't sleep with the parents. Because if the baby sleeps with the parents could too easily roll over on top of the little thing and smother it. That wouldn't be too cool, would it? So, what happens? They make a preparation for the baby. You want to make a preparation for your brand new baby stem cells. And you say, welcome stem cells, we have a party in honor of your presence. Now, every day, stem cells, the party is going to be held at 2... excuse me. The party is going to be held at 2 in the afternoon. Every day. Now, I realize you're coming all the time. But 10,000. So we're having a 10,000 birthday party every day at 2 o'clock. So, I'm going to be ready. And we're going to have 10,000 birthday cakes. And we're going to have 10,000 candles. We're going to have 10,000 guests there who are each going to welcome you individually. And these will be every organ, action, function of my body welcoming you. And you will be receive assignments of where you're to go and what you're to do. And you're one of the 10,000. One of the 10,000 is going to go into my brain. Just one. One is going to go into my eyes. One is going to go into my hypothalamus and all the various things of our body. One stem cell. But you say, one stem cell for the brain and only one for this gland? Sure. Sure. Do you know how many glands you have in your body?
Lots.
Lots. You have many, many, many glands. You have thousands of glands in your body. You know what a gland is? Sylvia, tell them what a gland is.
It's an organ that produces hormones, generally.
That, among other things, it brings the hormones into play in your body, a gland. You can have a sweat gland, which brings your sweat into play, so that your body exudes the moisture at various points for whatever reason it needs to do that. You can have a tear gland, tear duct. And you can have a hypothalamus. You get the message?
Yeah.
What did she say?
She translated it in German.
What did you say in German?
Drüsen.
Drüsen? Verstehen Sie?
Yeah.
screws in. Now, who wants to interpret that?
A gland.
Oh, I have such brilliance here, I just am overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed. You guys are great. Okay, so now you know what a gland is now.
Yep.
A gland is that which produces a function for the body. As Sylvia says, one of its primary glands are the hormones. But it's for many, many things. Now, in your own guesstimation, how many glands would you say you have? And you have thousands. But then you have organs. And then you have other things. You have cells. Now, how many cells do you have in your body? Just cells. Well, you have trillions of cells in your brain. So you can imagine what you'd have in your body. Lots and lots and lots. Now, let's go down to even more basics. How many atoms do you have in your body? Now, Christina, what is an atom supposed to do in your body? Your atom returns you...
My atom returns to my original purity and integrity.
Right, okay. So your atom is your original purity and integrity. And each stem cell that comes into your body goes into these atoms and returns them to their original purity and integrity. Now, how might an atom be handled that it would not be expressing its original purity and integrity? It's a good question, isn't it? How might your hand not be your original purity and integrity? When it's dirty, you know, or when you're cut, or when it's not functioning in its ideal form. What makes your hand function perfectly? What gives your hand arthritis, rheumatism? You know, what gives you all these interesting things?
Thoughts.
That's exactly right. Thoughts. Whenever you have a feeling, like pain or something, oops, I'm getting older. Whoops. I guess that's what happens when you're just going to have children. Pregnant women are always having this here. No, no, no. Pregnant women don't have anything. Pregnant women are just like a normal woman. They can do anything a normal woman can do and do, and just the fact that they're growing this new being within them, with all their love and joy, they can go on and do anything else. They can dig ditches, they can pick potatoes, they can cook and take care of the family, and they do. They do. In many nations, they don't have all the special little treatments that we give them, you know. And the husbands aren't always as lovingly generous, you know, saying, dear, let me do it, you know. He says, where's my supper? She's, I'm bringing it, you know. And she got her little angel in her tummy. But you see, thoughts. How can they do it? Thought. Many cultures have babies like popcorn without a lot of anxiety. And other cultures, the more sophisticated the culture, people, they seem to have babies with little difficulties, with many difficulties. And because these many difficulties, I said little difficulties, but with many difficulties, they feel that that is the way it is. Now, is that the way it is? No. How is it to have a baby? Nothing. Popcorn, you know? Pop, 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 pop. How are the children that are born like popcorn? Perfect, perfect, perfect. The mother expects the children to be perfect. The mother doesn't look back into her history and look back into grandma and grandpa or looking back into the aunts and uncles and say these genes, hormones, and chromosomes and so forth are all active in there. But society has us do that. You go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I don't feel too good. He said, well, let's take a history on you first. Tell me all about your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunts and uncles, what type of diseases you've had, what type of things your family is prone to. But doctor, I've got something right now, you know, and needs help. And, well, what have you got right now? Well, my tummy hurts, something terrible. The doctor said, okay, let me check. Okay, it doesn't appear. Let's just take an x-ray or something, whatever a doctor may do. And he said, oh, well, here, take this. You said, what is that? It's baking soda. Well, baking soda? I could have done that at home. That's right. But I get $50 each time you come in and don't do it at home. You know? So, but isn't that true? Isn't that true? And why does the old cliche have the doctor saying to you, take an aspirin, go to bed, and call me in the morning? You know? Why does he say that? An aspirin relaxes you, you're doing something. You go to bed, I mean, you're stopped, theoretically you're not going to worry about it, you're going to sleep. And calling him in the morning, well, you may not even feel like you have to call him anymore. Because you're either alive or dead, you know. And if you're alive, you feel good, you don't call. And if you're dead, nobody calls, you know. How many people call to tell their doctor that they're dead? You know? How many families call to tell the doctor that the patient won't be in anymore, the patient died? You know? Not many, you know, if any. It sounds humorous, but you see, this is how the principle works. We have thoughts in our mind, in our brain, that are messing us up. And we want to have thoughts that fix us up, that help us, that help us to accomplish and achieve all the goals that we have in our mind. Now, what goal do you have in your mind? What goal do you have for yourself? Because, you see, we're ready for it. We're ready for it. Associating my stem cells with pre-programmed cells encourages the new cells to live under the old programming. Now, that means that if you let your new stem cells just willy-nilly go anywhere they want, they're liable to go with the cells that say, oh, I got a scar here, we'll repeat that scar. I got a problem here, we'll repeat that problem. And is that what you want? No. You see, this may come as a shock to many of you, but to be the caretaker for a wonderful garden estate is a lot of work. To be the caretaker for, say, a 100-acre wealthy home up in the mountains, or not that, but wherever they have lots of flowers and trees and pathways and houses and outdoor water systems, you know, and what have you. That's a lot of work. Now, you have to know all about the watering systems. You have to know how to close them off in wintertime. You have to know how to open them up in the summertime. You have to know how to put the plants to sleep for the winter by putting straw over it or whatever. Or how to dig up the bulbs and bring them in so that they don't get frozen. And then springtime come, you put the bulbs back in like tulips and other types of plants. You have to know all about the greenhouse that you have. And you have this greenhouse that you put things in that you want to have grow year-round. And then you're the grounds and you're the caretaker for all of that. So you have to make sure that the cars are all in the garage and all washed and ready for use. You have to make sure that they are filled with oil and gas and the tires are all firm to the right pressure. You have to, you say, yeah, if you're a caretaker and you're taking care of this property and everything that it is, that's it. Now, you carry that a little further. You're the caretaker, and the cook comes to you and says, we need this, this, this. You have to go to town and buy it. And then the upstairs maid comes to you and says, these are clothing that have to go to the cleaners. So you got to go to the cleaners. And then somebody else has other requests. Here's some broken furniture that needs to be repaired or replaced or whatever. Now, I'm pointing out to you, just being a human caretaker of an estate with some significance is a lot of work. All right. Now, let's just say that you are a father and you are in a family of two children. You live in a normal community and you have a three-bedroom house, maybe, and you have maybe a normal yard, and you go to work, and you earn money, to pay for the house and feed the family, and you belong to your political party, you belong to your church, you belong to the PTA at school where the children go, and at home you have a garden in your backyard, and you have your little tractor or your little shovel or whatever it is that you dig in your garden, and you make everything beautiful. And in the front of the house, you plant rows of flowers, perhaps. And when it becomes necessary, you have the house painted, or you paint the house once every few years. Wintertime, you shovel the sidewalk of the snow. In the summer, you sweep it. You're always taking care of your house, yourself, your family. And then you have to come in after this busy day, and your kids say, "Daddy, tell us a story." You know, so you got to tell stories to your kids. And then they say, "Help me with my homework." Well, they're dealing with scientific information and facts that you have never heard about. They're reading about things that when you went to school, they would never even dreamed of. And now you have to know that for them. So you say to the kids, "Kids, I'll help you with this, but you help me, because I've never been there. And I think together we can have a wonderful adventure. Now, let's look all these things up. Kids, I'm not going to buy you an encyclopedia. I don't think that we should have a bunch of books in the house like that. I'm going to buy each one of you your own computer. And on your computer, the encyclopedia already exists, Wikipedia. And I will teach you, and we will do it together, how to go in there and learn this and learn that and learn the other thing." And pretty soon the kids are a super whiz on it, because they have more time to play on it than Daddy does. Daddy plays on it only when he comes home from work, and at work he does something different. Now, that's how you are. Or pretend you're the mother, the same scenario. Or pretend you're the housekeeper, with the same scenario. Pretend you're a nanny. You're a nanny, and you're taking care of four or five children, you know? And you're supposed to train them and teach them in these arts. And you're a good nanny, but you're not really an educational person, but you do what you can. You see, this is all the possibilities of who you may be. And you can't say, "Oh, that's too much. It's too much for me to greet 10,000 stem cells every day and tell them what to do." Since you learned about the stem cells at all, have you ever played with it as an idea? Have you ever said to yourself, "Good morning, Ingeborg. Good morning," you say to yourself. "I feel fantastic." And then you get up and you do your duty and you come back in your bedroom for a few minutes. You sit down and say, "Okay now, you 10,000 stem cells, I know that you're going to be flooding my life today, and I know you're going to be coming into my world, and I'm ready for you." And so Ingeborg sits there and she says, "Now, I want to set a few things straight right away. No fooling around. Each one of you has a job to do, and I want you to do it. And I want you to recognize that I'm a young spring chicken, and I am living my life in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And I'm what? Vital, alive? Alert, vital, alive.
Dynamic, alive. Vital, dynamic, vital, alive.
Dynamic, alive. Is that what you say?
Yes.
Okay, so, and I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And what do they say? They say, "Okay.
Your wish is my command."
They say, "Your wish is my command." And they do. Because they're the genius stem cells in you, waiting for you to give them your wish. Now, you heard Secret, and you heard what the bleep do we care, and all these other things. But have you put any of these things in motion? Have you set up a classroom in your life? Have you set up a classroom when you wake up in the morning? Before you do anything else, or you go to the bathroom or anything else, you say, "Okay, stem cells, now just wait. I'll be back after I wash my face." And then we're going to have our first class of the day. And our first class of the day is, "I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body." What?
I live in the ideal spirit.
You see what I mean? So quickly, it's easy to forget, even when you say it. Okay, I live in the ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, And the stem cells say, okay, I'll buy that. Now, what do you want me to do? All we know how to do is to return everything back to its original purity and integrity. All we know how to do is what?
Be our original.
Press the button. Hmm? Press the button. Computer button.
Restore. Restore.
Yes, all we know how to do is press the button for restoring. Wherever we go, we restore everything what?
To its original purity.
To its original purity and integrity. That's what the stem cells are going to say to you. And what do you say to them?
Go for it, yeah.
That's fine with me. That's exactly what I ordered from the doctor. I ordered these cells to be here to return everything in my body back to its original purity and integrity. Wow. Wah, wah. The little baby, huh? No. Our original purity and integrity is the... What?
Ideal.
The ideal. The ideal of whatever it is. The ideal. Now, so the stem cells return us to the ideal being. And we are a mature being. We're not an infant. We are the ideal human being or divine being. The ideal. And that does not mean we are young or old. We're vital, dynamic, alive. We're not youthful. Youthful gets us in trouble. Because where are we going to start with that youth? When they're 17, 20, or 30, 50, what are we going to do? So, we are vital, dynamic, alive. Now, being vital, dynamic, alive, we sit down these stem cells and we sit on our bed like a king or a queen. We say, okay, you guys, so glad to see you. You're always welcome in my body. And then you say, now, we got 10,000 of you today. Now, these are some of the things I would like to see you do. Every organ, action, and function of my body is returned to its ideal format. It's original purity and integrity. Now, stem cells, can you handle that? Yes, indeed we can. That's our mission. Our mission is...
My wish is your command.
My wish is your wish is my command. I knew you had something wrong there, but I didn't catch it right away. Your wish. Ellen. That's what happens most of the time. That's what gets us in trouble. My wish is your command. No, your wish, they say to you, your wish is our command. And we are here to do one thing, to fulfill your wish from us. Now, what is your wish? What is it you want? If I gave you all the power in the universe, Christina, if I gave you all the power in the universe and you could do anything you could want, it doesn't matter what, would you say you create a perfect relationship between you and Hangley? Would you create a perfect relationship between you and Hangley? No. It didn't come to your mind. I'm putting it there. Would you create a perfect family? Would you create a perfect mommy and daddy? Would you create a perfect relationship to your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and all these other things? No, that doesn't come to your mind. Would you buy a lovely house? No, that doesn't come to your mind either. Would you tour the world? No, that doesn't come to your mind. You see, nothing of these things really come to your mind. You really have no idea what you would do if you had all the power to do anything you wanted to do. You know what I mean? Because we just don't. We just don't. Because it's unbelievable that that could happen. It's just unbelievable. Now, what would Gertrude do? What would she say first? Would she say first that she lives in her ideal spirit, mind, and body? Or would she say she lives first in the ideal spirit, mind, and body? The ideal spirit, mind, and body, whatever it may be. Would Gertrude have any memory of any past? No. Would she have any memory of her children? No. Because what would she be? She'd be a UC, wouldn't she?
And Felicity.
She'd be unconditional love. And with unconditional love, you have no special thing. There's no special my children, your children, our children, you know. All children are glorious. All people are glorious. She would be such a center of light and peace and harmony that everyone who walked into her awareness would say, wow.
She is.
What?
She is.
And everyone who walked into her awareness would say, wow, would they? No. No. No one would even notice you because they are exactly the same way. They are your reflection. You see, we forget these little things. I keep sharing it with you again and again and again, but you keep forgetting. And I tell you, what would you do? You wouldn't create Hang Li as a super friend, you know, trying to get your attention all the time like Rex here, you know. You wouldn't create him as a super friend. You would be the super lady, and what would he be? Bitter? The Superman. Yeah, he'd be, no, and not in our normal way, but he would be absolutely fantastic, as he is, right? Okay, now, this is what your consciousness would do. Because, you see, once you enter into the awareness, and I'm talking about the awareness, then every one of the stem cells is doing their perfect work. Once you enter into the awareness, every person in your life is your reflection, and they're perfect and wonderful and beautiful. You follow me? Because that's the principle. That's the principle. Our teacher, Jesus, what did he say? What?
Would thou be?
Why the heck would he say that?
Because everything is in divine order.
No.
Because he saw everybody as he was.
Exactly. Everybody was his reflection. What do you want from me? You know? I mean, you're me. I'm you. I see in you all of the things that I am. And I'm pretty nice. And so he would have no idea what they wanted in a different way than he. He would see them in their ideal, or in the ideal spirit, mind, and body. See? Now that's what I would wish for you. Wish is not the right word, but that's what I'd wish for you. That you are so pure, so fulfilled, that everywhere you look, you see yourself, and you see a world fulfilled and beautiful and fabulous. Because that's who you are. And you're not willing to do it. You're not willing to do it. Hey! You're not willing to do it.
I do it.
You're not willing to look at everybody and see them wonderful, right?
I am it.
I do it.
Ingeborg, do you look at everybody and see them wonderful?
Yes, I do.
All right, good. Look at everybody and see them wonderful. You understand me?
Yeah.
If you dare attending this seminar and following it, if you dare to look at anybody in the world and see them needing help, I'm done with you. You know? If you dare to see anyone needing help, do you need help? No. No. You are fulfilled. You are fantastic. You are glorious. So everybody that you look at in the world is glorious. Now, I buy things, play with it, and give it away. And I give it away to people, and I don't ask, can you use this? I don't care. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And so I just give it. And if you don't like it, give it to somebody else. I don't care. Because all I do is just, I'm just the probeer. I'm just the one who tries out the various things, the various toys, the various trinkets and stuff like that. And I enjoy it. Don't you? Mm-hmm. But I am not possessed by it. And you're possessed by it. You're possessed by it. And why are you possessed by it? Because you see everything just the way you are. And in your heart, you're possessed by yourself. How dare you say something naughty to me? How dare you think I think bad thoughts? How dare you think that I swear? How dare you think that I do anything in an improper way? How dare you? Well, it's easy when I see you do it. But if I see you do it, then I'm doing it too, you know? If I see you do it, then I am part of that picture too. And if I'm part of that picture, you know? Can you imagine a scientist? Well, I like the story about Einstein that I told you many times. Einstein found all these new theorems, all these new theories, and nobody proved them, but they were good theories. And then other scientists came along and said, I'm going to prove that you're wrong. And what did Einstein say?
Go ahead.
Go right ahead. If you can, great. I don't have to. And if you can't, then you merely confirm that they're true. And go ahead, because I know you're going to end up confirming that they're true, because you're going to work for nothing. I'm super. I'm not dumb. You think I forget to put my shoes on or my pants or something like that? That's this life, but who cares? Who cares, you know? I'm me. I'm happy. And I do what I want to do. And my life is not to prove that I'm right, but it's just to sort of investigate the magic of the universe. Investigate all the possibilities that are and play with them. What do you do after we go to sleep at night? Do you go out and go on adventures? Do you go visiting friends? Do you go around the world doing neat things? Do you stay at home doing neat things? Or do you sit on your bed and say, folding your legs and sort of floating up above the bed, and you say, I was thinking of rearranging the living room. So in your mind, you rearrange the living room, right in your mind. And then the next morning you go out there, and here this humongous furniture that you had in your living room is all rearranged just the way you did it. And your other people in your life come in there and they say, my God, when did you have the movers here to rearrange all your furniture like that? Oh, last night. Wasn't that very expensive, you know, overtime and stuff like that? Didn't I? No. Well, who'd you call? I forget what the number is. The number is my heart, you know. And if you start telling them what you did, they'll do what? What does this mean?
They think you're crazy.
Yeah, but what do you think they'll do? What's the first thing they want to do?
Prove it.
No, do it for me.
Yeah.
Do it for me. They want you to be their keeper. They want you to do it for them. And this is what happens so often. So often. And every one of us fall in the trap now and then. Now, the doctor says to you, you take the pill. But doctor, it's a bother to take the pill. You take it for me. Now you see how ludicrous that is. But that's what you do. You want the doctor to do what you should do yourself. Now, you put the cause in motion. I'm whole and perfect. You put the cause in motion that these stem cells are pouring into your body. Hey, you can't do a thing about it. Ha, ha, ha. Those stem cells are just flooding your body every single day. 10,000 from just the brain alone. And saying, what?
Go with me. What would start with me?
No.
Your wish is my command.
That's okay. That's okay. I mislead you sometimes. Your wish is my command. 10,000 stem cells coming into your brain every day saying, your wish is my command. 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 And we go, No. It's too good to be true. No. I can't handle 10,000 stem cells. I can't handle 10,000 objective beings that want to do things for me. Well, then don't. Take one at a time. Visualize. Now here comes part of our program. Visualize one stem cell going where you want it to go. Going into your eye, your ears, your nose, your heart, your foot, whatever turns you on, whatever need you have. See the stem cell going, homing right in to whatever it is you want. And just stay with that. That one point. Don't say your whole body. Just say one point. One point. Now, every day, you say that. Every day, you're taking one stem cell out of 10,000, and you usher it to where you want it to be, in your heart, for instance. And you want a perfect heart. Return to your original purity and integrity. So, you usher it to your heart. Okay, stem cell, this is my heart. Somewhere around here, you know. This is my heart. So, come on in. Now, you take over. And the stem cell looks back at you and says, my God, you sure got a mess there. You sure got a mess there. What do you think I am? What do you think I am? Cleaning up this big mess that you've made over all these years. What do you think I am? Now, the stem cell does not say that. The stem cell cannot, does not, has not the ability to see anything other than what you want it to see. And if you say, stem cell, I got a bad heart, please make it right. The stem cell say, I'm sorry, if you have a bad heart, I can only make it better. Now, if you say to the stem cell, return my heart to its original purity and integrity. That's bad enough. Return my heart to its original purity and integrity. And I'd like it done before supper because I'm having a party tonight. And so the stem cell says, ha, it's done now. Where else do you want me to go? Well, go to my liver, go to here, you know, go to every organ that functions in my body. What stem? Hey, you sure like to work me, don't you? The stem cell doesn't say that. The stem cell says,
your wish is my command.
Your wish is my command, and you cannot ask me too much. You cannot ask too much of me. Your wish is my command. I am the happiest when I'm carrying out your wishes. I'm happiest when I'm doing whatever you really want done. And can you be one-pointed? Can you be one-pointed in your wish? Can you be one-pointed in the command you give? Can you? Ellen used to always say, which always caused me amusement, she would say, she commanded her servant to come around with a car, you know. Now, that actually was the correct thing to say. We say, we ask our servant to come around with the car. We ask our chauffeur, would you bring the car around, please? Well, stem cells are not servants. Stem cells are not ones who act upon etiquette or proper ways of doing things. So the stem cell wants to know, what in the devil do you want? Not what in the devil, but what do you want? And you say, a perfect heart. It is done. I know my business. Now, what else do you want? And so you better have some of things ready. Or else you'll say, okay, I'll take the rest of the week off. No, he's ready to go, ready to go. And then he says, hey, your heart looks just like the most perfect heart that ever could be. Can I invite some of my friends in? Well, what are your friends? They're pure stem cells too. Okay, that's all right. You invite them in. And what do the other pure stem cells do? The original purity and integrity, immortality, you know, perfect operating condition, you know, everything functioning beautifully. And then you get a little a syncopated rhythm in there. Party time, you know. And hey, you think that's a joke? Have you ever heard of a happy heart? We have the movie Happy Feet, remember? Now, what's that movie about? It's feet that cannot stand still. They're always wanting to dance, and it's a penguin's feet. Now, who ever heard of a monarch penguin with feet, happy feet that couldn't stand still, you know? Well, somebody had the idea, and they prepared the script and sold it to the whomever, and away we went. Now, my life, my whole life, is always party time. Everything I do is party time. Everywhere I go is party time. Everybody I talk to is party time. Every action I take is party time. Now, what does party time mean?
Happy time.
Happy time. Does that mean wine and champagne and beer? No. Does that mean cigarettes and cigars? No. Does that mean dancing and singing and sex? No. What does it mean? It means happy time. When you're happy in your heart, no outward form can encompass the capacity of your happiness. In the show Happy Feet, he was trying to find some outward form to encompass his happiness, and he ended up being himself and having fun. And this is what I want for you. What I want for you. I think we have come to our first hour ending. This time goes so fast. It goes so fast. It's so wonderful. And I just enjoy it so much. So, 2:30 to 3:30? Okay. Now, 3:30. We're supposed to start the second lecture. Okay, let's take a pause for a few minutes, shall we?
Yes.
Okay.